So today we are starting a new series and we're calling it Refreshed. Because I believe that right now with everything that's going on, and I'm seeing this across the board with a lot of people, a lot of us, there is a ton of people, a ton of us that have been stressed. We've been tired, stressed, with there just being constant changes and you never know what the future is going to hold. I mean, before, more than ever before, but I didn't really have to tell you guys that. You already know that. You're in it. But as a culture, we're stressed. And I was gonna put together a bunch of stats to prove this, but all those stats stress me out, so I'm not gonna do that. Because I honestly don't think we need to prove it. And I know that I'm not the only one that has been through this. In fact, I found a story that came out of a Florida newspaper about a guy who had a really very stressful time. He was working on his motorcycle on his outdoor patio, and he decided to get on it, start it up, and it was idling, so he revved up the engine, and somehow it slipped into gear. And he grabbed a hold of the handlebars, and he goes straight through this patio glass window into his living room. And his wife hears the commotion, she comes in to see her husband bleeding on the floor, motorcycle parts everywhere. She calls 911, and when the paramedics get there and they're hauling him off to the hospital, she decides before she follows, she's gonna clean up the mess, the gasoline that's everywhere and the parts. So she gets some toilet paper, and she wipes up all the gasoline, and she throws it in the toilet. So they go to the hospital. After a while, they're discharged, and they're back at the house. And so her husband, all bandaged up, she sees the shattered glass and the motorcycle parts everywhere, and he just gets discouraged, and he decides to go sit on the toilet and smoke a cigarette. Yep, you're ahead of me, right? You know what's getting ready to happen. So he's there. He finishes his cigarette, and he flips it in between his legs, and boom. And so now she hears that. She runs in to see his pants on one side and her crispy husband on the other. And so she calls 911 again. So the same paramedic crew gets dispatched. And so when they show up, they see him, they put him on a stretcher, and they're trying to figure out what is going on in this house. And so she tells them the story, and they start laughing, and they laugh so hard that they drop him off the stretcher and break his arm. It's a true story, and a really bad day, that stressful. And it seems like, you know, it's always something. It's like thing after thing after thing. And there are times when it seems like it's never going to end. And for a lot of us right now, that's the way life feels. And that's why we're going into this series called Refreshed, because we could use a little refreshing. And I am super excited about this series for multiple reasons. But one of those reasons is that very rarely does my personal prayer and study time with God in my own personal spiritual development, very rarely does that actually bleed over into messages that I speak. I usually don't study the Bible just to come up with messages. I study the Bible to grow myself spiritually, and then I also study to teach. But this particular series, it actually began because I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I'm going to be transparent. I've been tired. I have been exhausted. 2020, it has worn me out for sure. And I knew that it wasn't supposed to be like that. You know, we're supposed to fly above all this stuff. And so I began to dig into the Word of God, as I usually do when something happens, and ask the Holy Spirit, why is it? And I just asked him, why is it that I'm so exhausted, that I'm weary? And it's more than physical. It's sometimes I've been demoralized just about how when I watch what's unfolding in front of me in our country, you know, why is it there are times when I've been drained and just exhausted when I live in a whole new kingdom? And so as I refreshed myself in the Word and prayed, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that your congregation, the people I've entrusted to you, they need this as well. And so thus was born this series called Refreshed. So I don't think that I'm alone. I think that a lot of you, a lot of us, you know, that we can't get enough sleep to refresh us. The time off that we take doesn't refresh us. The introverts, the alone time doesn't, and the extroverts, the social time, that none of it refreshes us. And so what I've discovered is some keys, some things that has really helped me to rise above all the things around me, that I could take a deep breath and actually feel refreshed. And so I want that for you as well. So I'm going to share that with you today and throughout the series this month. So, and the good news is that God has instructed us in 2020 through His Word about how to deal with this. About 600 BC, the Israelites, people that God ordained to take His message to the world, they were getting ready to go through a super rough time because God had been good to them. He had provided everything that they had needed for generations and generations. And although they still had the temple and they still went to what we would consider church, they had their freedoms of their own land, they were self-governing, they were a nation based upon God and His principles. But for generations before this, they had actually squandered what God had given them. They had become distracted by the things in their world other than God's plan for them as a people. Because, see, humans left to our own devices and our own hearts to guide us without His Spirit will always drift towards selfishness. And that selfishness will always poison our spirits. And so that's what happened to them. They refused to be focused on God's plan and they had become selfish. And the prophet Isaiah, he would warn them for years and years through prophecy after prophecy. But they were so caught up in their own selfishness, their own greed, that they totally abandoned the plans of God for their own lives, their own comfort, their own plans and selfishness. Because of this, Isaiah knew that they were going to be captured and enslaved by a whole nother country. And he would prophesy to them, and he wrote all chapters about it, all the way up through chapter 39. And then history tells us that at about 600 BC, that the king Nebuchadnezzar from the city of Babylon would come and he would destroy the whole city of Jerusalem and enslave most of the people that were there. And that was certainly bad news for them. But the good news for them and the good news for us today is that even if things get really, really bad, maybe it's even our fault, God is always there for us. He'll never leave us. He'll always instruct us, empower us, encourage us to become more than overcomers in this kingdom of God. He always gives us the power, the strength, the focus to be more than overcomers. But if we can keep a proper perspective, and although the historical account of chapter 39 foreshadows what would happen to them, the captivity of the Jews, the beauty and poetry of chapter 40 is a beautiful chapter that provides beautiful words to help us rise above the circumstances that we go through. So at the very end of chapter 40 is one of the most popular scriptures of the Bible, and it says, "For those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength." That's what we need, is a renewing of our strength in this storm. And it says that they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. Look, this is the most beautiful imagery of soaring on the wind like an eagle. That renewing, the refreshing, that for those who, if it feels like your strength is slipping away from you and you're getting exhausted and despondent, your strength can be made new again. It could be renewed. It could be refreshed. That we could run our race, that we could walk through our life with strength and clarity and enjoyment, fulfillment, and not grow weary. That's the good news. When you might say, well, Micah, yeah, that's all beautiful and all, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through now, and you have no idea what I'm facing right now, what's ahead of me. Yeah, great. Showing me pictures of eagles, you know, and just telling me, like, hope in the Lord, brother. You know, that's not going to do it. I need some real help right now. I mean, does God even want to help me? Can He help me? Will God help me? Look, I hear you. And actually, I agree with you. That there has to be more than patting you on the head and saying, God is good, you'll be okay. I think that hidden in this verse, and actually the verses that lead up to it, if you'll read those, is an amazing picture of how we walk in the kingdom of God with continual renewed strength. And what I'd like to do is look at this eagle that God is using as an example for just a second. See, the eagle the eagle is the most powerful creature in the air, hands down. He is the emblem of many countries. I mean, not only here at the United States, but Russia, Germany, Mexico, Egypt, Philippines. In fact, more than 10% of all countries in the world use the eagle as their national bird or their national emblem. And there's a reason for that. And there's a lot of things that we can say about eagles, but today I want to talk specifically about the perspective of an eagle. When it says that we can be renewed, that our strength can be renewed like the eagle, that we could be refreshed, see, that's a different perspective. The eagle has amazing vision. Their eyesight is estimated to be 4 to 8 times better than humans. The eagle has better vision than any other animal or human that God created. He has the best perspective of any of the other animals. In Proverbs 29:18, watch this. The Bible says this, where there is no vision, people perish. And this lack of perspective of the future that we have right now, what happens is we have no power for the present because of that. And we get exhausted. See, if we have no vision for our life, our marriage, our home, our family, if we have no vision for ourselves, and we just feel like things are just going to be the same or maybe even worse over and over and over, that's exhausting. If you have no vision for your Christian life or your church, you are powerless to handle the situations that come at you on a daily basis. But the eyeball of the eagle is incredibly complex. It's advanced compared to our human eyeballs. They see things that we can't see. They are actually able to see a rabbit 2 miles down. They can be flying at 2 miles high and see a rabbit 2 miles down. And if we could see that well, we could actually see an ant crawling on the ground from 10 stories up. I mean, you could see a tiny ant crawling on the sidewalk from 10 stories up if you had an eagle's eyesight, their vision, their perspective. You see, everything that we see would be a brilliant color. Eagles, they can spot camouflage animals even when they're hiding from way up high. He can accurately look down and spot all the different color shades. There's not an animal that can camouflage itself from an eagle. They can either correct reflections from the water. So when they're looking down at that perspective, they can look through the water and see exactly how far down the fish is so they can catch them. An eagle can fly above everything else and see and have a perspective that other animals can't have. I mean, if they're down in the bush, they can't see everything. But an eagle, they can see everything. And when they swoop down, they do it at 150 miles an hour, and they never lose focus as they come down because he has the bigger perspective, and then he can focus in and take care of business. And what's very interesting about an eagle's perspective is they actually have 3 eyelids and 2 sets of lenses on their eyes. So it's almost like they have 2 sets of vision. Now, when the eagle flies into a storm cloud, the heavy winds and the rain and sometimes sand can actually damage its first set of eyes. So the second set of eyes or vision actually kicks in at that moment. And so they actually have 2 sets of vision. And his vision is absolutely amazing. It's impeccable regardless of the circumstances that he's in because he's got these 2 different lenses, 2 visions. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasted away, though inwardly we are being renewed, or inwardly we are being refreshed day by day. So I'm at outwardly and inwardly. Just like the eagle, we can have 2 sets of eyes. We can see our natural world that's around us with 1 set, but we have to begin to develop a 2nd set of eyes for a different perspective within the kingdom of God, a 2nd perspective that can look into or down from this kingdom perspective. So every single day, our inward man, our spiritual man, as kings and queens of this kingdom, we have to develop stronger and stronger eyesight in the kingdom perspective so we don't get exhausted at all the things that the world gets exhausted at. In verse 17, it says, in our light and momentary troubles. Look, you might have troubles. It may be health, it may be financial troubles, it may be marriage troubles, family troubles, parent troubles, school problems, whatever it may be. The Bible says that those troubles are momentary. That is this perspective that we have, is that the natural things, they're momentary. But it says that those things that are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs it all. And then in verse 18, it says, we fix not our eyes on what is seen, the one eye, the natural eye, but on things that are unseen. We look through that other lens, that other perspective, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is actually eternal. In other words, the things that we've been going through, those things, they're going to change, and they will come to an end at some point, as long as we keep our perspective to not just look at what's in the natural, but we fly higher, and we look at the perspective of the eagle, of the kingdom above everything else, a higher perspective. That everything else in the natural realm, it all hinges on that kingdom. We have power and authority in this higher kingdom, and if our thoughts are renewed by the Word of God, day and night, and we meditate on the Word first. If we read this constitution for this new kingdom, the Bible, if we meditate it on such an extent that when we close our eyes, we can see with that second set of eyes ourselves living in that higher realm, in those promises, that our healing is here, that we're walking in health, that we're disease-free, that we're stress-free regardless of what's coming on, going on around us, that we're overcoming financial stress and debt, that oppression is not in our life, that we are stress-free. If we can see ourselves with that second set of eyes, that perspective that God has for us, the Bible says that that's the moment things begin to change. And how we have to meditate on the Word of God. And then just like an eagle, we'll ride through every storm quickly and victoriously. This, my friends, this is the future and the perspective that we have to have. See, we live on a higher plane with higher causes, higher goals, higher love. And when you can get that perspective, when you can see through those lenses, everything changes. It changed for me as I am looking at things through God's eyes, through heavenly eyes, through kingdom eyes. I can see the issues, yes, but they come into perspective with the whole big picture. See, I love to fly. I love to travel. I love to ride in airplanes. And one of the things that I love to do is as we're taking off and the houses are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, for some reason, I like to focus on one particular house and just wonder what the people in that house are going through and how small they're becoming from my perspective, but how huge their problems might be in that little tiny house. And as that house begins to get smaller and smaller and the other houses begin to kind of swallow it up into a grid, I wonder what God's perspective is on our lives. And then I realize, this is the perspective that I'm supposed to have on my life. Yes, I have temporary troubles. The Bible calls them momentary. There are things in my life, in your life, that seem so humongous. And this is not to minimize any of our problems, but it is to just give us a proper perspective, an eagle eye, if you will, to put into perspective kingdom vision from a higher level versus worldly vision, where the only thing that we can see is just what's around us. And if we can switch lenses, then it brings a breath of fresh air. It brings a renewing, the Bible says. It brings a refreshing. So what would your world be like? Think about it. If you could realize that there are two lenses, that you can be refreshed because you have a brand new perspective, an eagle's perspective, if you will, and that your strength to be it can be renewed like the eagle's because of your new perspective in this kingdom of God. And what if all of us could do this, that we could shed the exhaustion and the despondency and the weakness and the stress that we never know what tomorrow is going to bring, the constant debating and fighting in the world that we're in right now. What if we actually rose above that? We lived on a higher plane, with higher vision, with different perspective. That no matter how the world acts in November when the elections come, no matter if your person gets elected or not, that we as the church, that we could have a higher perspective, a higher view, that we know that the rules and the laws of this kingdom that we live in, that those are subject to the laws of the kingdom and that those rules, that our hope is not in man, his government, his politics, but our hope is in God above all else, because we have a different perspective. And when that happens, I'm telling you, refreshing begins to come, because you have a bigger vision, you have a bigger view and a bigger perspective of our wonderful expected end, the Bible says. It's declaring the end from the beginning. It's calling those things that are not as though they were. So this week, I want you to begin to, as soon as you begin to get consumed into the things that are close to you, the things that are stressing you out, the things that cause exhaustion in your world, I just want you to take a moment, just this week, just try it out for 1 week. Take a moment, close your eyes, and open your other eyes. Breathe deep and get God's perspective, his plans for you, your authority in him, his love for you, the purposes and the plans that he has for you, that he's placed on the inside of you to reach out and to do more than survive, but to be his hands and his feet and help others regardless of circumstances. Because if you're a Christ follower, you're more powerful than any circumstance, as long as you keep your perspective. And if you'll do that this week, say it out loud right now. Say, I will.